Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. It is Parenting Month. So powerful in Parenting Month. We have, from the Lefko Institute, a belief specialist, a parenting specialist, a child belief specialist. Shelley Lefko is on the line. How you doing, Shelley?
I'm great, Jordan. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm so excited to dive in today, talk about parenting. I'm a new parent myself, so I feel I have a little bit of extra clout this year around in the Lifebook cycle. I got a little two-year-old. So let's dive right in. For the listeners who may not have heard of your work, can you give a brief background on yourself and your expertise?
Sure. Somewhere around 30 years ago, my husband created a process that quickly and permanently allows people to eliminate the beliefs that cause all of their suffering. So whether it's procrastination, depression, not standing up for yourself, relationship issues, whatever problems you have, we can quickly and permanently eliminate the beliefs and therefore eliminate the problems. Mm-hmm. So it's very results-oriented process. So about early in, I was working with people and it became very apparent to me that all of these, or most of these beliefs, almost all of them, came from early interactions with parents. Mm-hmm. So I started realizing, oh my God, if we could transform the way in which parents parent, if we could give them the principles by which to parent, we could not only put me out of business, but we could change the world. And it became my passion.
Fascinating stuff. We talk about limiting beliefs a lot. We talk about beliefs in general, but especially limiting beliefs here on the Lifebook Podcast. Something that I've realized is this kind of, it's not negative or positive inherently. Well, you tell me. There's this belief perpetuation cycle that you see in generations, right? You see it with the overbearing father who treats his son as a disciplinarian, and then that's how his son goes on to treat his son. However, I do believe there is an upward trend. Just the way we treat our children has you know, come so far and involved so much more benevolence and compassion just over the past 100 years, for instance. But do you find that has kind of been the modus operandi for humans since the beginning? Was this belief perpetuation cycle? It's kind of what kept us alive, right? But it also can bring up some nasty stuff and hamper your human flourishing later in life in modern society, right?
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to say, Jordan, because it's important to me, what I mean by a belief. Mm-hmm. So a belief is a statement about reality that you believe is the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like being pregnant. You either is or you ain't. That's what a belief is. I believe this is true. And what I don't believe is all this, you know, legacy and we do things because blah, 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 and, you know, I'm a very, very, what's the word?
Is it more nurture-oriented than nature? Okay.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely. I am definitely a nurture girl, not a nature girl.
Okay, interesting.
Yes. So I believe that we are born, we come in, we have personalities. But when you come in, and I'm kind of diving in a little bit to how beliefs get formed, but I'll address your question first. Actually, it's the same. We come in as these little balls of consciousness, mm-hmm. and we don't know anything about ourselves, life, people. We don't even know that we're separate from our mothers. You know, when we're first born, we think we're part of them, right? So we look into the world when we get here, and if we cry and we're not picked up, we say, well, why? Now, you have a two-year-old. If you had a three-year-old, I would ask you, what does your child ask all day long? And you, the one-word question.
Probably would be why.
Would be why. Why? Why can't I have a play date? Why can't I eat dessert? Why can't you play with me? Why can't I sleep with you? Right? Why? So why am I not getting picked up when I cry? Oh, I see. I'm not important. Mm. Why am I getting criticized? Oh, I see. I'm not good enough. So these beliefs go from generation to generation because let's assume you grow up in poverty and you believe money is scarce and hard to get and life is hard. Now you have a child. What are you languaging? Money is scarce and hard to get. Life is hard. So the child is watching and they're going, oh, life is hard.
Right.
Oh, money. And so that's how the beliefs get formed. The child coming in is observing the same thing generation after generation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to your point, I'm hoping, I'd like to believe, that we're becoming a more conscious generation.
Yes.
But what I teach are fundamental principles that will allow you to know who, what parenting expert you should listen to.
Mm.
Because everybody's a parenting expert. I said to somebody, what makes you a parenting expert? He said to me, I was at a conference. He said, oh, I had 11 children. I've been working with people for 30 years, listening to them tell me, I procrastinate. I can't have a healthy relationship. I let people take advantage of me. I don't stand up for what I want. I have a fear of public speaking. And underneath these patterns, what we call patterns or issues, are beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very clear that my body of work comes from, I have clients in Uganda, in Pakistan, you know, and everybody has the same beliefs
right.
that cause the same problems. So I'm sitting here going, oh, if you do this, this happens. If you do this, this happens. So if a parenting expert tells you, you should let your child cry themselves to sleep, oh, but only for 10 minutes, and then five, and then three, like Dr. Ferber does, I say, really? What are they likely to conclude if you do that?
No one's coming. No one loves me. I'm on my own at night.
I'm not important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not important. What I need is not important. Baby only has one way of telling you what they need,
yeah.
right? To
mm-hmm.
cry.
Yeah.
So the same thing is true for affection. If you're not affectionate with your child, they're going to say, why? So I know what I was going to say. Dr. Dobson, the Christian guru, says you have to hit your kid and they have to feel it through their diaper. If you hit your child, yeah. what? It's not that it's bad or good. What are they going to conclude?
Right.
That violence is a way to handle things. And then they're going to hit kids and you're going to wonder, oh, stop that. Don't hit that kid. But you've taught them that you want to get what you want. Hit.
Yeah, 100%.
And they conclude I'm powerless.
Yeah. No, and
if you dominate your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how these beliefs get formed. And there are certain behaviors that lead to certain beliefs.
Do you feel like we're headed in the right direction? Because if you look at the way that, for instance, parents disciplined their kids just a couple decades ago, I mean, it was perfectly appropriate to do things that you could get sent to jail for now. I mean, that's a real reality. And I don't think it was because they were bad or stupid or even ignorant. I think they were just in their time in history. I think we don't give enough credit to that's just the way things were. That's how we operated as a species. And now it's kind of like it kind of points to the hierarchy of needs. We have so many things taken care of that we can occupy our days with, you know, things like personal development, for instance, trying to better ourselves, better our character, understand our mind and our own psyche. These are all privileges. They really are privileges. And I think we're headed in the right direction, right? As a whole, do you agree?
In some ways, maybe. But I think what's happening with technology, mm-hmm. when you go into restaurants and you see entire families on the phone with their, you know, with phones in their hands and their kids are sitting there, to me, it's just mortifying.
It's a brand new challenge.
It's a whole new thing. You know, it's, I just read a cartoon right before you came on. Somebody died and somebody says, oh, I thought there would be more people at their funeral. He has over 200 friends on Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think that somehow it's become, you know, if I'm talking to somebody and they pick up their phone and look at it, I stop talking. I just, obviously they're doing something else.
Yeah.
If your child is talking to you and you're looking at their your iPhone or your phone while they're talking to you, they're going to conclude I'm not important. Wow. Because that's what they think they're actually seeing. Mm-hmm. And that's why beliefs stay with us, because we think we see our beliefs in the world, like you could point to them.
Yeah.
And every time I say to a client, did you ever see I'm not good enough? The most common belief people have, they say, I saw it every day. Now, you can't see I'm not good enough. It doesn't have a color, shape, or location, but you can see your parents' behavior.
Wow.
So that is the most significant thing. So are we going in the right direction? I don't know. I still know. I still watch people in a sporting, you know, environment screaming at their kid for not getting a goal or a home run or.
Right. Yeah, I think it's probably tough to tell. And like you said, probably moving forward in some areas and back in others. Technology is a scary one, man. It's definitely a double-edged sword, but I don't want to get too far off the path. I want to touch on something you said, and we're kind of jumping around, but I like this. I'm all about this, Shelley. You're a great guest. So, I mean, let's jump right to this. How can we become more conscious of which beliefs we're instilling? Because like you said, a lot of the times we're doing this unintentionally. Interpretation is such a crazy thing. We don't mean half the things that we imprint on other people, let alone our own children. So how do we become more conscious?
That's a great question, Jordan. And I love what you said, interpretation, because that's how we get rid of beliefs. One of the ways is we begin by breaking it open, by looking at other interpretations that you couldn't see as a child.
Possible ones. Okay.
But yeah. And then we have a place where we get to where the belief actually goes away. And the power in that is huge, 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 huge. So becoming more conscious. I could teach 30 parenting skills, 20 parenting skills without even thinking about it. But what is the most single important thing to do to become conscious is to start asking. So the first thing is to define your role. So you're either the boss of your child or your child's guardian angel. It's a huge paradigm shift, because the whole way in which you talk to your kid and be with your kid is going to be different if you're their guardian angel, not their boss.
Wow.
Right?
I like that.
So first you have to look at what is my role. My role. So I have never yet said to a client, is your life consistent with your beliefs? You went to Harvard, you have a PhD, you're worth $10 million, whatever the situation is, your life's not consistent with any of that. Look at the stars in Hollywood. They have fame, money, power, beauty, and they're on drugs and suicidal.
Right.
Killing themselves. So the first thing is, and the most single important thing, is to realize that our lives are consistent with our beliefs. Not what school your kid graduates from, not what their GPA is, not if they're polite, but if you get that your job is to facilitate your children to create positive beliefs about themselves and life, then when they walk away from you, what did they just conclude? And use logic.
I like that.
If they walk away saying, I made a mistake and I learned something, or did they walk away saying, I'm a loser, I'm stupid, I'm not capable?
Yeah.
Now, do you need to get trained? Absolutely. You need to get trained to drive a truck. You need a license to do anything. But anybody could parent.
Yeah.
You know, my one of my soapboxes, I can't help it. I have to say it. And it's like, if I said to you, you have a two-year-old, right? So Jordan, I have a job for you. You're going to be responsible for the emotional, physical, spiritual, intellectual development of a human being.
Yeah, it's pretty big undertaking.
No kidding. But we don't need training for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like we just think we should be able to do that. And the way most people do it is either the way they were parented or not that way.
Right. No, that's a good point.
Which is reactive,
yes,
not intentional.
Yes, that's absolutely true. That's one thing that I've been trying to dig down on is why you can have a family where, you know, you got a dad who's an a-hole and he drinks and he smacks the kids, and three out of the four of his kids go on to treat their spouses the same way or end up in relationships that resemble the other member of that relationship. But one, for some reason, says, you know, my dad was an a-hole. I'm never going to be like him. I'm going to make sure I'm never going to talk. I don't drink. My dad drank. I always have time for my kid because my dad. What is it in your estimation? I always ask people this and they never give me a satisfying answer because there is no satisfying answer. Someone once pointed to karma, which I thought was cool. But what do you think is it that some people, that switch gets flipped, while I'd say most people go kind of Twilight Zone swirly eyes and are just kind of like blank imprintable cassettes?
I don't know.
It's a tough one.
And I would say that somewhere a belief got formed that it could be different.
It could be different. Wow.
It could be different. That some teacher or some
event,
adult,
yeah,
something they saw and said, oh, it could be different. Because most kids can't see that.
Wow.
Most kids cannot see that. That's why alcoholics, you know, have alcoholic parents, have alcoholic children. And again, it's for me, when people say it's genetic and predisposition, maybe, I don't know. But I do know this. If you watch, how does my father or my mother cope with life? Oh, the way to dull your pain is to drink. The way to cope is to drink. That's what we call a survival strategy belief.
Yeah, that is for sure perpetuating. There's no argument about that.
If you have a parent who goes for a run, you go, oh, the way to handle your problems is to go for a run.
Right.
You're just a kid trying to figure out the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always fascinated me why there's that one kid. Right. And I'll always ask him, was this a significant adult in your life that was some sort of a role model for you? And they generally say yes.
That is a fascinating answer. Very satisfying, Shelley. I want to touch back on what you said about instilling beliefs in our kids, because there's parenting is such a balancing act. I mean, so many other life book categories are so much more straightforward, like health and fitness. I want to look this good. I want to have this diet. Parenting, it's like, okay, we need to prepare our kids for the world. We need to instill what we believe in them. But don't we also need to balance that with them kind of figuring it out themselves? How do we balance those two and make sure that we're not just dumping our baggage on our kids, but still preparing them so they're not just walking out into the world with no tools?
Yeah, that's a great, 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 great question. So the first thing is, you are a role model. They are watching you figuring out life. I never said to my kids, say please, say thank you, but I always say please and thank you.
Ah.
My kids are very polite. Mm-hmm. You know, I picked my battles. I looked at what are my highest values. No TV. Now, that was way before. My kids are 31 and 37.
You were ahead of that curve.
Yeah, no TV. Not no TV. They were allowed, as they got older, 3 hours a week. And it was usually Saturday morning. But yeah, that was it.
Wow.
That was no TV and no soda.
Nice.
You know, no.
Jeez, that's genius.
And it's so interesting because I don't say no to my kids. It's always, let's talk about this. And here's four words parents can get rid of. And this is an answer to your question, how you instill a sense of value into your kid's life. Get rid of the words good, bad, right, wrong.
Wow.
They're judgments.
Yeah.
Okay. So instead, it doesn't work to hit your sister. Hitting hurts. It's not that you're bad if you run around the restaurant. It doesn't work because it disturbs people and people are trying to have dinner.
It doesn't work. I like that.
It's not good. It's not bad. It's not right. It's just you're not giving your kids anything to rebel against or to be compliant about. You don't want a compliant kid. You know, everybody thinks I want a kid who listens and sits still. And no, you don't, because then you're going to end up with a compliant teenager. Mm. Not what you want. You don't want a rebellious teenager either. You want to teach your child how to look inside and ask themselves the question. That's why praise, I may be a little all over the place here, but.
No, you're great.
Instead of praising your kid and saying, oh, that's so good, or you did such a good job, or, you know, to say, wow, I noticed you really put a lot of thought into the colors that you used in that painting. So now the kid says to himself, oh, I'm a good artist.
Oh, wow.
So they're not people pleasers. They're not approval junkies. So the way in which you speak to your children, here's another good technique. Never ask why. Why is the most unpowerful question that you can ask. First of all, you don't know why. They certainly don't know why. Why is why is meaning? Meaning's made up, okay? What is it about school that has you not want to go? What's going on there?
Oh, wow. Not why don't you like it? That's a really big distinction.
Huge. What is it about brushing your teeth? I tell, you know, I'm doing a talk at in Croatia, and I'm telling a wonderful story about my daughter brushing her teeth, not wanting to brush her teeth, and ready to ram the toothbrush into her mouth. And the little voice in me said, at what cost?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I teach this. At what cost must you have your child do what you want? If she's going to conclude I'm powerless, I'd rather have her have no teeth than that belief. So I said to her, what is it about, first I used humor and I said, I'm not going to force you to brush your teeth, but if you don't, you're going to talk like this because you're going to have no teeth in your mouth. But I said to her, what is it about brushing your teeth that you so dislike? And she said, Mommy, the toothbrush is hard on my gums. It hurts.
Mm.
And what can we do about that? She goes, can we get a softer toothbrush?
Jeez.
Now she's the genius. We solve the problem. So I call it, don't force, get to the source.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
So it isn't that you can't guide your kids. It isn't that you can't give them information. You can say to them, I'm going to give you the best tool in the world. My husband said, if your child is not hurting themselves, another, or something, they should be able to do whatever they want.
I like that.
Now, the first one has a lot of room if they're not hurting themselves. So you could say to your child, listen, you put good gas in your car because you want your car to go, right? You have to put good fuel in your body so that your body grows,
right?
and explain things. Give information. If you put your finger into the socket, you can get electrocuted. If you touch the hot stove, you can get burned. That's information. There's no shoulds. There's no this. There's no shaming. It's just information. My kids could say anything to me, except you can't curse at me and you can't tell me to shut up, because that's not how I speak to you. I will treat you with dignity and respect. You treat me with dignity and respect, because that's how you treat people. So using I messages, I hate you right now. Okay. And then you validate their feelings. Wow, you're really angry right now. So I hope I'm answering your question of how do you get them? See, what you want is to engage your children in life with them asking themselves questions. And you teaching them how to find the answers within themselves.
I love that. That's beautiful. Well, which beliefs are healthy? I mean, we think that we're doing good, you know, as much as we can, but which ones are certified, approved by Shelley Lefko as the healthy beliefs that we can instill that maybe we might not be thinking about?
A healthy belief is, and I'm going to speak to something that I think is one of the most important things I teach. I'm capable. I'm lovable. I'm good enough. I'm important. And I matter just because I am.
Mm-hmm.
We raise human doings. Mm-hmm. Did you do your homework? Did you do your chores? Did you do this? Did you put your toys away? Did you go to sleep? Did you get it? Did you do? Rarely do we say to our children, I love being with you. Mm-hmm. You are a joy to be with. You will get good grades, bad grades. You will succeed. You will fail. Who you are is whole and complete and good enough just the way you are. And the reason you want to raise human beings is because most people feel that they have to do something in order to be those things, good enough, important, capable, valuable. Mm-hmm. I have to achieve things. That's workaholism. I have to have other people think well of me. That's approval junkies. That's the belief that runs people's lives. What makes me good enough is having other people think well of me. Right.
Right.
So you know, I have an 8-module parenting course, and I notice I'm like, I want to give you, you're so compelling as an interviewer. I just want to give you everything.
Thank you. So that's a very sweet compliment.
Yeah. So I'll stop.
No, this is how I do it, man. I love it.
Those are the healthy beliefs. I'm okay just the way I am. You know, so the way you engender that in your child is to say, I'm never mad at you. I love you unconditionally.
Wow.
But I don't like what you did. I'm upset about what you did. And it's not that you like it. Nobody cares what you like or what you don't like. Mm. What you did didn't work.
I like that.
Getting grape juice on the couch when I asked you not to run in the living room doesn't work. Now it's stained. Grape juice stains. So teaching moment, right?
Right. Yeah. That's when they learn.
I'm angry that you whipped my brand new blouse because you didn't take care of it. But I'm not angry at you. And it's not semantics. It's different.
I love that. I love that. Shelley, before we wrap up this lovely interview, I got a hard question for you, but I'm sure you have a great answer. If you had to choose the one highest leverage belief or character trait to instill in a child to best set them up for a happy and healthy and fruitful life, what would it be?
Hmm.
Take your time. I'll do the Jeopardy music. Do, 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 do. I've been working for a while. I've been kicking a few around. For a while, I thought that delayed gratification was just so important. I thought that discipline was important. I thought grit was important. Self-love. Is it impossible to choose just one?
I think so. But I think if you can put it into one word, to know that it would be to know that I am a whole, complete, lovable, functional, I'm a whole person, mm-hmm. just as I am. I have worth and value because I exist.
Mm-hmm.
And see, here's the thing for me, Jordan, when I got rid of all my own beliefs, and I had a really good childhood, but when I got rid of my belief, and so my point is, it's not about a good or bad childhood. My parents loved me with all their hearts, but they didn't have my parenting course, unfortunately. you know, my mother loved me and did everything for me. But I think that when the more okay you are with yourself, the more your attention and focus can be on others. So one of my highest values is to be a contributing adult, a contributing human being, to know that you make a difference and can, because I think underneath it all, I think all people want to do is contribute. And if all of the listeners think about a time in your life when you contributed to another human being. Think about how that felt. Mm-hmm. And so when your focus is not on you having to prove that you're okay by scoring a goal or getting a job or having a Mercedes or whatever it is that you think makes you okay, your focus is going to be on that. And when you're okay, and you're going to have ups and downs, you're going to work on yourself. You know, I just had a fabulous conversation with my 31-year-old daughter, and we were looking at something in our relationship that was kind of funky. And she said, "Mom, I really thought about it, and I did some work on myself." And she said, "And I realized something from my childhood." And, you know, she's growing always. She's working on herself. You know, we're all growing, and we have to have space for ourselves to raise our children, mm-hmm. to know we're a work in progress. And when you're okay with that, then you can be in life. You can fully express yourself, be who you are, be a contributing human being. And you're not trying to prove something. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. You know, there's a Jewish word, it's called mishigas. And it means
it's all the unnecessary stuff. It's all the cluster, all that mess, right? All that nonsense.
Mishigas. Everybody has mishigas. And to be self-accepting, to raise a child to know, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, you know, make mistakes, fail, learn, grow, and move it along.
I love it. This has been so enlightening and so fascinating, Shelley. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
For all the listeners who are looking to get your course, who just want to learn more about you and your work, where can we send them?
Well, there's two things. I have a parenting course called Empowering the Next Generation. And it's empoweringthenextgeneration.com. And it really is the manual that you should have been handed when you walked out of the birthing center or the hospital. You know, it gives you all the skills and tools, how to facilitate your children to have great beliefs. And I highly, highly, highly recommend it. That's really what I love. And the other thing is, if you're interested in the belief work, it's Lefko Institute, L-E-F as in Frank, K-O-E, Institute.com. Find out about the belief work.
Love
but since this was parenting, I want to make sure everybody knows Empowering the Next Generation.
Empowering the Next Generation, everybody. Check that out. One more time, Shelley, thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks, Jordan. Have a great day.
All right, all you Lifebook listeners. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.